all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all. God still works. Praise the Lord. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this another wonderful opportunity you've afforded us to be in your house to hear your word. Speak to our hearts, God, as only you can. Allow the Holy Ghost and his perfect preaching, teaching, ministry to meet us right where we are spiritually, and then lift us to the place you'd have us to be for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said amen. God bless you. From the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 10 and 11. St. John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, recorded are these words. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject real life. Real life. Jesus tackles this issue of real life as he speaks this word to those who hear him but may not yet fully understand him. Everybody that is living share in the essence of life but do not necessarily possess real life. And one of the things that I think is so important is for the believer to understand that he or she, when they know Jesus, have been saved by Jesus, are entitled to all of the benefits of real life. Real life, broken down, is abundant life. And there are too many believers who do not even know how much is in them and how much is stored up for them, because they really don't understand real life. And so one of the things that I think is important for us to understand in this text that we're dealing with, the context shares with us Jesus making clear that he was the good shepherd, and understanding that everybody who had come before him were thieves and robbers. That not only was he the shepherd, but he was the door through which the sheep entered and exited out to the pasture for safekeeping and for nutrition or for feeding. And Jesus makes clear that he is the only true good shepherd, and he is the only true door. Any other reference to any other power, person, or potentate was false and was untrue. He is the only true shepherd that God has sent to redeem his sheep. So Jesus makes clear, coming up to this verse, that everybody who tried to be the Savior, in other words, were just playing you. They were not the real shepherd. What they preached was not the real gospel. Their direction didn't lead to the right way. And Jesus makes clear that he is the one who is the one that God has given to us to know real life. Now look at this, because when you look at verse 10, and he starts off with the thief. He says, first thing I want to share with you about this, and it's interesting because he starts off talking about the thief before he talks about himself. He says the thief, and first thing I think you need to realize is that the thief is an unfair adversary. The thief is an unfair adversary. Well, why is the thief an unfair adversary, an unfair enemy, an unfair opponent? Well, he's unfair because he steals. And he takes advantage of you when you are not around or not alert or not aware. The thief. The thief can be right with you and you don't even realize it. The thief, unfair adversary. He says the thief, and I don't know if you know it or not, but the thief can be with you in your house and steal something in your house and help you look for it. He's an unfair adversary. You trust him, you believe him, you're not, you know, of the mindset that he would do such a thing, and that's what he takes your trust and your belief and your accepting of him or her and uses that against you to get in the confines of your most secret places and to understand what you're dealing with and where you are and how vulnerable you are, and yet in that place takes advantage of you. The thief. Somebody say the thief. An unfair adversary. But I think you also need to understand that while we think of the thief in a term of stealing tangible things from us, valuable things for us, it is true. But in this context, Jesus is talking about the thief as one who is a false teacher or false prophet. And so he says the false teacher, the false prophet cometh not. Now, so we move on from him not being fair and right as an unfair adversary to having an ultimate agenda. Because the word says he cometh not but for. He cometh not but for. And later we deal with what that agenda is. But you need to know that the enemy has an ultimate agenda whenever he shows up in your life. And don't be fooled. And that's one of the reasons why Peter, who was fooled by the thief, had issues. And he tells us to be sober and be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walketh about in the earth. He's looking for whom he may devour. That's what a thief does. He cases you out. He's walking around here today. He knows some of y'all didn't come to have church. You just in church. He steals your attention. He steals your focus. He steals your praise, your worship from God. He steals the very essence of the word that would go into your ear and down into your heart and change and transform your life. He steals those opportunities from you, and you're not even aware of it. He may use the person sitting on the side of you to talk something other than what God is saying. Tell jokes, talk, point at and talk about other folk. Pass last notes, he still, oh, y'all ain't got to say nothing to me. I know I'm right about it. And so it's important to understand he has an ultimate agenda every time he shows up in your life. Well, if he has an ultimate agenda, how does it play out? I'm glad you asked. It plays out in unrelenting attacks. He starts off stealing. But his agenda calls for more than stealing. How does he do it? Well, I've already shared with you, he steals your opportunity to hear the word, to know the word. He takes your attention, your focus away from what you ought to be hearing, what you ought to know, the knowledge that God would have you to have so that your life can be transformed, that your life might be rich to overflowing, that your life might be blessed, so that your life may be capable of enjoying the benefits of a believer. He steals the things that bring you life in abundance. See, while you're there begging for money, God, give me money, God, give me this, God, give me that, you are missing out on the essence of real life that brings those things when you have life. You're talking about the things of life, and Jesus is talking about life itself. You rob yourself when all you want are other things of life rather than real life. It's no wonder the old folk used to say, you can have this whole world. Just give me Jesus. Because they understood real life. Now listen to this, my brothers and sisters. When the enemy comes to steal, he doesn't stop at stealing. Tell your neighbor, he doesn't stop at stealing. Well, notice what the next progression is. And to kill. So he steals everything he can get from you. If that ain't bad enough, next on his agenda is to kill you. But what does he start off with? He starts off killing your desire and your hope. He starts off killing your spirit and your need to need Jesus. He kills the hope that is in you and the ability to look beyond the things that are, to see the things that are not, and then begin to speak those things that be not as though they were. He kills all of that. And when he kills all of that, then life becomes meaningless. It becomes hopeless. It becomes filled with nothingness. That's why folk turn to substances and perversions and other things, because there is nothing on the inside that fills them with life and vigor, vim, and vitality and the essence of what Jesus Christ himself came to give us. And so when he kills all of those things, the next progression is the body. Because once there's nothing to live for, then you don't want to live. And so you kill yourself in many ways. Some live a slow death. Some make it speed it up. And they, listen, the enemy, can I just throw this out for free right quick? Whenever you have thoughts of suicide, can I tell you that's the thief? He can't take your life from you, but you can give it up to him. And so he put thoughts of suicide in your mind to steal the life that you do have left and to keep you from living life to the fullest. Don't ever think that committing suicide is of God and that's the way of God and that's what God wants for you. No, the devil is a lie. That is the thief. Alarms ought to go off. Lights ought to go off. Warning signs ought to fall down. You ought to know that's the enemy. And here's also what you ought to know. If he's trying to get you to take your life, then you got something to live for. Somebody didn't get that. He knows somewhere up the road, if he can cut you off now, that you will never live up to your full potential and be what God wants you to be and what God has honored you to become. You're going to have some dark days. You're going to have some trying times. It's going to be rough. You're going to have tribulations in this world. But be of good cheer. Jesus has already overcome the world. And if he's overcome the world, we too shall overcome the world. And so he kills, ultimately beginning with the spirit and ending up with the flesh. But then it says, and to destroy. Now keep in mind, the context Jesus put this in don't make a lot of sense totally in the flesh. But when you look at it in the spirit and understand what the enemy wants to steal in the spirit, and then how the enemy wants to kill the spirit, then you'll understand that after you are dead, he wants to destroy. But my question becomes, well, what else can he destroy? It would almost seem like it should say he came to steal, destroy, and kill in the flesh. But in the spirit, he steals, kills, and destroys. Well, this word destroy literally means to ruin. And it means to ruin not only your reputation, but everything that you have done worthy of the kingdom in this earth realm. He wants to destroy your witness, your worthiness, and your walk. He wants to discredit everything that you've done for the kingdom of God, so that people will look back and say, well, no wonder he wasn't this, she wasn't that, and discredit everything that you've done. But listen, that's not the ultimate end. The ultimate end of destruction is your soul, and destroy your soul. See, heaven was the place that God created for him and his people. Satan was cast from heaven. And when he was cast from heaven, God prepared a hell for him and his imps. And Satan got mad with God, though he couldn't do nothing about it. And then when man was created in God's image and in God's likeness, Satan desired then to mess with God's chiefest creation, thereby messing with God's heart, because he messed with his chiefest creation made to his greatest honor and placed him in the earth realm. Satan from hell said, I'll fix him. I'll pull them toward me. And though hell wasn't made for them, I'll persuade them to come to hell and live with me. Why? Because God made them free moral agents to make a choice of their own. They can go to heaven when life is over, or they can go to hell if they so choose. And because God gave us a choice, the devil was now permitted to tempt you. Over and against the word and the truth that God gives to you, and you make the decision. And so remember, Satan was cast from heaven, but Jesus came from heaven. Y'all ain't got that. Satan was cast from heaven, but Jesus by choice. Need I back up and tell you, it wasn't Satan's choice to be cast from heaven.
he didn't have a vote in the matter. He didn't have a say-so in the matter. When God saw the wickedness of his heart and the doing of his ways, he cast him and everything that was contaminated like him out of heaven. But look at what Jesus says. But I am come. I want to talk about his authorized arrival. But I am come. Now that might not sound like much, but you got to understand, if you back up to the first chapter of John, you'll see in verse 1 of the first chapter, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Well, let me put it another way. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. And if you drop down to the fourth verse, it says, and in him, in Jesus, was life. Yes. And that life was the light of men. Yes. And so Jesus is trying to help you understand, I came. Yes. But I like the way he says it better, I am come. Yes. But if you say it too fast, you miss what he's really saying is, I am. Yes. The same I am. Yes. When Pharaoh was there in all of his splendor and authority, and Moses had to go and tell him that God said, let my people go. He said, but I just want to ask you one question, God. When he asks me, who said to let his people go? He said, tell him, I am that I am. And it's the same I am. Y'all gonna make me preach too fast. I am come. Authorized arrival. Somebody say authorized arrival. Can I tell you, the Lord is here by permission. The Lord is here by commission. The Lord is here on a mission. And he says, it's important for you to understand that my being here is an authorized arrival. I am come that they might have life. And that means that he is on an anointed assignment. That they might have life. I am come that they might have life. Now let's the familiarity of the text causes you to miss the message of the text. Look at what he was really saying. He was saying, I am the Word, as explained in the first chapter, which is Logos. And I am Logos, the Word, wrapped in flesh. And I am the Word wrapped in flesh, and in me, John 1 and 4 says, was life, or is life. So here, don't miss it, life is in the Word. So I am the Word that came down from heaven into earth, took on the form of flesh, and wrapped flesh around the Word so that I became the living Word. And the reason I came and wrapped flesh around me and am the living Word is so that I can give the Word that produces life. And so that's one of the reasons why the devil don't want you to know the Word, because the more Word you know, the more life enters into you. And the more life you have, the less the devil can do with you. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. That's why he does not want you to know the Word. I am come that you might have life. The Word. The Word that produces life. Now look at this, because it's important.
he's on an anointed assignment to get everybody to have real life. Yeah, they have human life, but they don't have real life. Spiritual life, the everlasting life, the abundant life. They've got human life. They're alive, but they don't have the real life. You know, the kind of life when it's in you, it'll make you cry and ain't nothing wrong. It'll make you run and ain't nobody behind you. It'll make you scratch and ain't nothing itching you. Make you laugh and ain't nobody telling a joke. I'm talking about that real life. It has a way of affecting you that bring God glory and you the good. And then he closes out that verse by saying, and that it life more abundantly. And that's assurance of abundance. Assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. Have I got any witnesses in the house today? And my brothers and sisters, when you have the assurance of his abundance, listen, that means you're to live life to the fullest. Listen, you need to stop complaining. That's too much complaining and not enough of I thank you, Lord. You're not defined by your condition. You're not defined by your circumstances. You're not defined by your troubles or your struggles. You are a child of God. Yes, you might be going through something, but the word says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Real life. When you're by yourself, it's something about having the word of God that produces more of that real life on the inside of you. When friends turn their back on you, family forsake you, isn't it good to know you can go to the word and the word just produces life? When you feel like giving in, when you feel like giving up, when you feel like throwing in the towel, and you make it to the word has a way of encouraging you and telling you this too. It came to pass. Thank God for real life. Give the Lord a hand of praise. God sent his son. Can we just go old school for a minute? They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon and empty grave still there to prove my Savior lives. I just want to say this, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Have I got any witnesses in the house? Because he lives. Listen,
All fear is gone.